Be seated. Dharmuk and Jalad at Tanagra. My parents raised their children with some of the basics of life. We all learned how to do basic cleaning. We all learned how to do basic cooking. My mother's family, this meant that I learned how to make a pie crust from scratch. Some things are simply important. And we learned Star Trek. Some things are simply important. Dharmuk and Jalad at Tanagra. It's the heart of an episode of Star Trek, Next Generation. The Enterprise has been sent off to meet with the Temerians. Temerians are a race that they've come across a few times, and there's been a problem. They haven't been able to understand each other. Now, in Star Trek, this is a little unusual because they have universal translators and huge language databases, and it hasn't worked. They meet, they try talking, still not working. And then the Temerians start saying, Dharmuk and Jalad at Tanagra. Apparently, they don't quite agree about whatever that is. And then they beam their captain and Captain Picard down to the planet below. They still can't understand each other. They still are working towards understanding. And of course, above, there's a little bit of conflict because now their captain has disappeared. Slowly, Captain Picard pieces this together. Dharmuk, it turns out, was a mythical hero king. In one of his adventures, he wound up on the Isle of Tanagra, where a stranger, Jalad, also happened to be. They didn't know each other, and they were a little suspicious. And then they get attacked. Turns out that the Isle of Tanagra was inhabited by a rather ferocious beast. And Dharmuk and Jalad have to work together at Tanagra and leave friends. This, it turns out, Dharmuk and Jalad at Tanagra, was what the Temerians were trying to express as a hope and a plan, and what they wanted out of this whole meeting, all caught up in this one phrase. We have our own phrases like that. Joseph in Egypt, Abraham leaving his home, Jesus on the cross, the prophets preaching repentance, the disciples. These have meaning. We understand the weight of these symbols. We have forgotten something, though not everyone else does. Our stories, our metaphors, and allusions speak to us, but not so much to others. The Temerians, it turns out, have a language built on those metaphors and allusions. They could communicate through their shared knowledge of stories and what those meant. And the church has gotten bad at this. Paul, writing to Timothy this morning, has laid out the heart of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners. Try using that phrase at your local coffee shop or around the water cooler at work. I don't think it works anymore. We know it, and we know that Paul was a great example of this. He was a sinner who was saved and went about the work of God in his world. And I have learned that St. Peter's is full of people like Paul, who know the salvation and the love of Jesus Christ and want to do something about that. But we've forgotten the translation. I had a calculus professor in college, which I only took one semester of because I don't like math. And he was brilliant, fundamentally brilliant, and knew calculus very well. It was a class of people who were not brilliant in terms of math. One day, one of my classmates raised their hand and asked a question. You could feel it in the room that we were all so relieved someone had asked this question, because we were a little intimidated. Professor St. George, you could see him think about it for a second. Then he went to the board, and he wrote out the exact equations that were in the textbook to explain this. The entire class sat there thinking, but that's what we don't understand. Our professor spoke calculus, not English. Gets confusing because they use the same words, but you need a translator. The church needs translators. We used to be good at this. We were so good that our images and metaphors and truth sort of crept into our society. And then the world changed around us. And those images and metaphors, which are still throughout our society and our culture, have lost their meaning. We have, perhaps not us here, but the larger we, have forgotten Abraham leaving his home. We have forgotten Egypt. We have forgotten Jesus and the cross. And the church hasn't paid attention to that. We have stopped being translators. Today we heard Paul writing to Timothy. One of my favorite stories of Paul. Paul in Athens. If you were Paul, you knew quickly that his life was under scrutiny. He was going around the Roman Empire, around the Mediterranean, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And nobody understood it back then either. It was a little suspicious, and Paul looked a little, well, either misguided or crazy, depending on who you were, I think. So Paul is in Athens, waiting for his friends to arrive to continue their travels and their preaching. Everyone is watching him. He's looking around Athens, and he notices the altar to an unknown god. Paul gets up, and he informs the Athenians that they are clearly very faithful people, because they have been praying to an unknown god, whom he knows. He begins to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everyone listened. Paul, in a foreign city with foreign customs, knew how to translate. He knew the creativity and the persistence that required. Paul, in Athens. We must, as the church, remember that no one understands what we are saying anymore. Even if they know the words, they don't understand our meanings. To be translators puts us at risk, not of death, like what happened to Paul eventually, but of being seen as odd, out of step. Being weird requires our creativity and our persistence to live with that and to speak past that so that people understand what Paul reminds Timothy of, that we are examples, the salvation of Jesus Christ offered to all people. Amen.